All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, happy Friday. Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. It's April 21st, and coming up this hour, A Tale of Two States. Thanks to 12 years of gerrymandered Republican rule, Wisconsin is now one of only 10 states still losing out on federal money to provide more affordable health care to working families through Medicaid. In Minnesota this week, the Democratic-controlled legislature is beefing up their Medicaid program and now adding a public option. We'll talk about how it would work and what Wisconsin's losing out on with Kristen Lierley, who will rejoin us here in just a sec. We also have Dan Schumacher coming up near the end of the hour. Looking ahead to next week, it's Motherhood Monday next week as the Motherhood for Good crew comes and joins us. On Tuesday, we will talk to Chippewa Falls author John Kinville about his new book, which is a beautiful biography of the first Chippewa Falls casualty of World War II, a young man who was stationed at Pearl Harbor. We'll talk to State Representative Alex Jors on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, we will talk to Senator Tammy Baldwin, who will join us for a time on Thursday. We'll also next Thursday have our regular segment called Hometown Health with a doctor who really shows some promise. Kristen Lierley is her name. And I really think think that she can turn that talent into something someday if we just continue to mold her and shape her and, you know, keep her from going off on wild tangents. Oh, wait, that's what she does to us. Never mind.
Jeez, Pat, thanks for your confidence.
We kid because we care. There's still a couple of Brewers tickets out there waiting for you. If you are in a position to go to the game on Sunday against the Boston Red Sox and would like them emailed to you, all you got to do is answer a simple trivia question. Who pitched the Brewers' first no-hitter and the only solo no-hitter in Brewers history back in 1987? 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. And if nobody calls in and gets them, we hand them over to Todd Alba. And then he tries to give them away, and he'll probably find something easier than that. Although I thought that was a pretty easy question, so shows you what I know.
Brewers are on fire. They're like 7 games above 500.
I know.
It's so exciting. Like, this is the time. Look it up. Google it, people. Go see the Brewers. These are free tickets.
I know. Would have loved to have had you along for the game. Aaron and I will be attending this weekend. But
yeah, some of us have to work.
I know. We appreciate that. Hey, I'm going to take a second here in the headline portion of the hour before we get into Medicaid and everything. One story that you can find up at Up North News, which is at upnorthnewswi.com. And it's a story that was first broken by the Washington Post, but it has to do with January 6th and the Trump big lie. And do you remember the call, the beautiful call that Trump made to the Secretary of State in Georgia, where he said, all I want to do is find 11,780 votes. I only need those votes. Fellas, I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break. We all remember that little piece of crime, right?
Right down to the number of votes that he needed.
Yeah.
There was something very special about how specific he was.
Very, very fishy in his effort to try to rig the election. Well, that investigation, of course, is still going on. And one of the attorneys that was on the call advising Trump on 2020 matters, her name was Cleta Mitchell, and she was part of the prestigious Milwaukee firm of Foley and Lardner. Well, when word came out that, you know, Cleta Mitchell, who has advised other conservatives and Republicans in the past, when it got known, well, Foley and Lardner and Cleta Mitchell had a parting of the ways. Well, Cleta Mitchell continues to be active in things that she says are about election integrity. I don't know if they're about election integrity when you hear that she made comments at a private Republican donor retreat in Nashville last weekend that said Republicans need to do more to limit voting on college campuses and do other things that basically suppress the votes of young people. And Kristen, you witnessed what they did with Janet Protasiewicz, you know, how college kids really helped make a difference. And you can see why Republicans, instead of trying to win on the issues, are like, how can we make it even harder for college students to vote?
This is the new drum that they're beating, that they need to get their people out. Actually, my congressman, Mike Gallagher, said that this just like last week, I think,
right,
that we need to get our people out so that we're in power and then we can shut it down again and make sure that people can't vote. And they're so like brazen about it. You know, this is our plan. We don't want people to vote. So let's make sure the right people vote and the wrong people don't.
Yeah. So we want to call your attention to that. You can read about it either in the Washington Post or get a summary of it at upnorthnewswi.com. Let's see, Aaron, is our potential winner still on the line?
We do have a caller. Let's see.
Who is that?
This is Ron from Milwaukee.
Hey, Ron from Milwaukee. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm an up norther by birth, so I think I deserve this win.
I really think you do too, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, who's our pitcher of historic record?
Well, that was a softball pitch. It's Juan Nieves.
Thank you. There we go. Okay. Which by the way, you and I both know a whole lot of people went, oh yeah. But you managed to, you know, actually come up and step up, answer the question. And so if you don't have plans Sunday, if you don't have plans Sunday, maybe you'd like to go to the game.
Yes, I would.
Okay. Who do you think you're going to bring? Let's get you in trouble. Who do you think you're going to bring on Sunday?
Oh, it'll be the missus.
Oh, good. Okay. Again, give him a bell. He answered that question correctly too. So, all right. Aaron's going to get your information so we can email that to you. Thanks so much for calling in and listening. We appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
All right. Stick around. Aaron will be talking to you as we get started in the commercial break. Juan Nieves. Kristen, you're more of a Packer trivia person, aren't you, living in the shadow of Lambeau?
Mm-hmm. And I like the history. So, no, I did not know the answer to that question. I'm just going to be really honest with you.
But you had a Google machine, so you had access to it, which we appreciate. All right. Kristen and I will talk about what Minnesota's done to add a public option to their Medicaid program, something that should have been done nationally and could still be done in Wisconsin someday. You're up north. Mm-hmm. On the permanent Friday playlist here, Up North News Radio for Friday, April 21st. Kristen Lyerly joining us as well. And we're going to talk about the difference between states, something we've done before. For example, in our last hour, we highlighted what's happening in some Republican-led states. In Iowa, they're keeping the state auditor from actually, you know, auditing. In Tennessee, they're removing civilian oversight over police activity. In Texas yesterday, there was a legislative vote to mandate the posting of the Ten Commandments in every school. Now, again, not to pick on any one religion, but the one that comes up all the time is, you know, what about the Quran? Or what about something else that is not your particular religion? Try to get a feel, people, for privilege and what it is to use that privilege responsibly rather than oppressively. But now it's time to talk about some other states. Michigan's now Democratic legislature has done some things to advance women's reproductive care rights. And in Minnesota, they are moving to expand Medicaid, known there as Minnesota Care, and even give it a public option. Whereas here in Wisconsin, we're one of only 10 states that still hasn't taken the federal money that comes from the Affordable Care Act. And so we're going to talk more about that in just a second. We've got Michael Cairo standing by, I believe, from Weatherology, who's going to tell us all about the weekend forecast. So Kristen and I will get back into healthcare in just a sec. Michael's here. Tell us about the weekend, sir.
Yes, indeed. Some cooler temperatures headed on in for your weekend. Not too bad temperature-wise for today, especially across the southeastern half of the state. We'll work up to high temperatures well into the 50s, maybe even approaching that 60-degree mark in areas like Madison over to near Milwaukee with at least some partial sunshine. But the northwestern half of the state from about La Crosse up through near Wausau and points off to the northwest from there, we'll pick up a chance for some scattered rain and even some snow showers. This comes as an upper-level low-pressure system works in from the northwest for today. Up that way, areas like Wausau staying confined to the mid-40s and potentially struggling to even get out of the upper 30s in areas up to near Rice Lake. Then for tonight, that chance for some lingering snow showers mainly across northern portions of Wisconsin. Overnight lows dropping all the way back into the 20s for Wausau and Rhinelander, some lower 30s for Eau Claire, and likewise in the lower to middle range of the 30s for areas like Oshkosh down to near Madison as well as Richland Center. Then into the day on Saturday, a much cooler day in store. Don't be surprised to see some snowflakes flying even into southern portions of Wisconsin for tomorrow as that upper-level low-pressure system works across the state and staying quite breezy as well for tomorrow. We'll have those winds increasing out of the west, around 10 to 20 miles per hour. High temperatures on your Saturday staying confined to the 40s statewide, even stuck with some upper 30s into the northwestern portions of Wisconsin on Saturday. Sunday, the nicer of the 2 days for this weekend. We are looking to dry things out. It won't be all that much milder, though, especially across northern Wisconsin, upper 30s and lower 40s for high temperatures there. Could reach some upper 40s, though, for La Crosse, over to near Madison and Milwaukee, and the gradual moderation in temperatures continues into the first part of next week. We're back to some lower 50s for the southern half of the state, but still stuck with some cool upper 40s across the north.
And Michael, I owe you such an apology that yesterday I thought you were the one that had a dog barking in the background. It was our guest who was on standby. I didn't realize we could hear her audio, and it was her dog that was raising a ruckus. So it wasn't you. I apologize for commenting that your dog barks at TV weather people who aren't meteorologists, but that was a complete mess up on my part for not knowing which channel I was listening to a dog on.
Not a problem. We did hear a dog barking nonetheless, yes.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Have a good weekend. Appreciate it. All right.
You too.
Before we get to the difference between Medicaid funding in both states, Mark from the SAC is standing by. We mentioned the Cleta Mitchell role in trying to help Donald Trump overturn the election and now trying to restrict college students from voting. Mark, what's on your mind this morning?
Yeah, well, somebody who was born in Superior, Wisconsin, raised out in the county, in the country there, but I can remember who registered to me to vote, and it was pretty easy for me to vote back in the day. That would have been 1976, I turned 18. But, I mean, it's just disgusting that these politicians, these Republican politicians, are trying to decrease the franchise, try to make it harder for people to, harder for people to vote. And I think they should be confronted wherever they go. I mean, you should just directly question them. What do you have against people voting? Period. I mean, it's bad. It's bad enough. It's they've put in rules that don't make any real sense, because voter ID hasn't probably cut any voter fraud or anything. That was just a method of trying to suppress the vote, because especially when you don't make it easy for people to actually get a voter ID. If they truly believed in democracy, they would be registering people when they're getting out of high school, and everybody would have easy access to a voter ID then. I mean, we should have easy access to voter ID. If they want to have voter ID, easy access to the polls, convenient polls. Because my poll was, even out in the country there, it was, I think, like a mile and a half from the house I grew up in. We went to vote down at the town hall. And don't get me started on the Medicaid funding, because how much money did we lose to Scott Walker's political ambitions? And he should be confronted that wherever he goes. If you see Scotty Wanker, you say, yeah, now you've made it really good for yourself, leading a new Hitler Youth group.
Hey, he's had a very good time. He had a very good time for many, many years, living off of public funds and having his family covered by public health care and everything. So, yeah, he does, in fact, deserve that very much, Mark. Thank you so much for checking in with us this morning.
Thank you, brothers.
Have a great weekend. So, Kristen, to that, let's start just with, would you give us something rather basic here? When we talk about Badger Care, which is what Medicaid is known as here, who do you see that comes in that is covered by Badger Care rather than what we'd say is traditional employer-covered insurance?
For me in particular, it's the pregnant population. Most of my pregnant patients actually are covered by Badger Care. But importantly, they lose it at about 6 weeks postpartum. So their coverage goes away long before their pregnancy and postpartum period is resolved.
What does it say that the main Republican talking point about Badger Care and Medicaid overall, as Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has said repeatedly, is that it's welfare?
Well, that's a word that resonates with them, and it works with their population. So I understand why they use it over and over again, but it's not. It's healthcare. It's healthcare that we need and deserve. Could you even imagine what it would be like if you found yourself pregnant and unable to pay for, to access the healthcare system? Could you imagine what the fallout would be? How we would have people not coming in to get the care that they need. And I mean, what would happen in your life if you had all these untreated conditions like blood pressure problems and diabetes and preterm labor? Like, we think of pregnancy as a a natural thing. And it is, it's natural and it's beautiful, but it's getting increasingly dangerous, especially for people who live in underserved populations in rural areas of the state. And these are the people who are really best served, most served by badger care.
And look, if somebody doesn't have care, I know that the Republican talking point is, well, that's what the marketplace is for. It's always about the invisible hand and the magic of the marketplace. And if the marketplace doesn't provide something, then the charitable whims of billionaires, you know, will take care of it instead.
No, I'm on the marketplace. I pay $700 a month for my own health insurance, $700 a month. People, do you have $700 a month? And that's with a $7,500 deductible before I even start getting benefits. So it's unaffordable. Health insurance, we all know it, has gotten to the point where it's unaffordable. It doesn't cover what we need. Ultimately, we need healthcare reform in a big way. But a step that we could take here in Wisconsin would be just simply to expand Medicaid. It is such a disservice to the people of Wisconsin that we haven't done this yet.
And let people buy into it for people who might be self-employed or for whom, you know, their company doesn't provide a very good policy at all. Let them have that option, because when you here's the most basic thing. When you have more people covered with health insurance, the level of uncompensated care, the level of unpaid medical bills, the level of medical debt goes down. The number of bankruptcies prompted by getting sick goes down. Mm-hmm. There's nothing but net positives.
The number one reason for bankruptcy in the United States is illness, inability to pay for your health care.
And again, just like we talk about with guns, no other country in the world is this messed up. I mean, and I think that at a psychological level, I think is a hurdle that I believe more and more Americans are finally getting over, this notion of, well, we're the United States of America, so therefore we're the best at everything. No, actually we're not. And we're seeing that in gun violence. We're seeing that in healthcare, that every other developed country has figured out that if everybody has healthcare coverage, there's not as many sick days, there's not as many bankruptcies, there's not as many people getting sick because they get preventive care. These were the things that were going to be addressed through the Affordable Care Act, which originally was going to have a public option so that people could buy in, buy their own policy, or buy into a state pool like a Medicaid program and be covered. But because of legal challenges to the Affordable Care Act from Republicans, one of the things the U.S. Supreme Court did was remove the mandatory Medicaid expansion and said each state has to decide. And initially, quite a few states that were led by Republicans resisted, but one by one, they have come to understand not only the fiscal, but also the human benefits of expanding Medicaid to more of their population. And Wisconsin and a few states in the deep South, or the very red Republican Mountain West, are the last ones to haven't yet figured it out.
Wasn't it like Oklahoma a couple of years ago that actually had a ballot initiative to force their government to expand Medicaid? Yeah, if only we could do something like that in Wisconsin so that people could buy into affordable, comprehensive health care. We all need it. But unfortunately, we don't have that mechanism here in this state.
No, we don't. And that's one of those things, again, a shortcoming in Wisconsin is the lack of, you know, what I refer to as initiative and referendum. Because when you allow the voters to look at an issue and have it not be Democratic or Republican, but just the issue itself, you get what happened in Oklahoma and Missouri and Nebraska and Utah and Maine and Idaho, all states with Republican majorities in government, but whose people looked at an issue and said, well, I may not be a Democrat, but I know how I feel on this issue. And we see it in the Marquette poll all the time on issues like gun safety and reproductive rights and legal marijuana. We know where the people are, but they just are represented by Republicans who don't want to do what their constituents are asking them for.
And let's be honest. And folks, if you're listening, think about the things that you haven't done or the medications you haven't picked up or the pills that you've cut in half because you haven't been able to afford it. It doesn't have to be like this. And it shouldn't be like this. If we can get our leaders to actually listen to us and to actually do the things that serve the people, which is their job, we can change this.
All right. Kristen Lyerly's here. Normally, we have Mark Jacob coming up next at 7:30 on Fridays. He will be back next Friday. Kristen and I will continue our discussion with a little bit of a follow-up from yesterday's discussion on politicians who can't help themselves. They have nothing better to do than bully trans kids and the population. We'll follow up that conversation next. You're up north.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
Boy, this brings back memories.
I can actually smell the air.
This is from 1975 in a group called Northern Light, and their single Minnesota was a regional hit for a little while. And somehow I remember that from way, way back when, and thought we'd continue our discussion about A Tale of Two States that way. New for you?
When you sent it, I thought it was the 1975, which is this like cool band, and I thought
No, we're talking about the
really
year.
Bringing it up a
the year, which is not nearly as cool. It was not a cool year, but it did bring us that tune. We've been talking about the difference in states and the difference in leadership versus obstruction. And I think to that end, about this time yesterday, Kristen, you were here with Dr. Eva Igler, a pediatric psychologist, and we were talking about the very real impact she sees in her patients and other young people when they see this continued political bullying from the right wing. And you've already been getting some feedback on yesterday's segment.
Yeah. So a listener reached out to me to share his perspective. And, you know, he agreed. He appreciated the interview. But he wanted me to understand that parents are ultimately in charge of their children.
No, and when no.
And
you're
when
not.
Their children are dealing with these things, that it makes parents feel very uncomfortable. And I want to just validate that that's his perspective. Yeah. And I appreciate that. And, you know, conversations and understanding come when we're communicating. So I was really grateful to him for reaching out and helping me understand where he was coming from.
This
and
comes,
Pat, your reaction.
This comes from that whole this whole quote unquote parents' rights thing. You are their caregiver. You are their champion. You are their advocate. You are their disciplinarian. You are the one who imparts your moral code onto them. But ultimately, you don't own them. Ultimately, they become their own person. And sometimes they become a person that you wouldn't become, but that's not for you to decide. It's also, now, to be clear, let me jump quickly, it's not for a teacher to decide or a coach or anybody else. It's that person. That person, that child, has questions. And you can provide the answers, and everybody else that they encounter can provide the answers. But at some point, as Dr. Igler was saying yesterday, it comes down to autonomy. And do you respect an individual, including your own child, enough to respect that autonomy to say, okay, well, here's what I've given to you. Here's the moral code. Here's the work ethic. Here's everything else. But ultimately, unless I'm literally locking you in a closet, at some point, you get to be your own person.
She said some really important things, and I would love to refer our listeners back to that segment, which you can find on civicmedia.us. But
well done.
One of the things that I really appreciated was that these people come to talk with her, and they are reluctant often to even share this information with her because they don't know if they can trust her. So she really has to build that bridge in order to even get this information from them. And then she said that sometimes they're trying things out, as kids and teenagers and even adults are known to do. So now maybe they're trying some different pronouns. Maybe they're trying some different names. Maybe they're trying to figure out where they actually fit in the spectrum of their peers. And maybe those things don't work out, and then they back off on it and they try something different. That's scary for us, because it's different than what we are used to. But for them, they're just trying to make their way through life and see what fits them. And that to me really resonated because, you know, I've got teenage kids of my own, and, you know, fortunately they're really open with me as far as I know.
As far as we know, right.
As far as I know, but they'll say things to me that sometimes it will just catch me off guard, and I'll just have to, you know, say, well, geez, I wasn't expecting that. You know, thank you for confiding in me. And it makes me feel uncomfortable. But that's okay. It's okay for me to feel uncomfortable. I love them and I want them to be whole people.
Let me tell you something about the discomfort that you eventually feel as a parent as you get older and as your kids move into adulthood, because now we're seeing it at both ends, both in our adult children and our aging parents of our own, is that at some point the kid becomes an adult, whether it's my kids or me to my parents. And you start sharing some of those stories about, hey, did you know way back when, like one time, we never knew where a certain stain in the house came from.
Gross.
It was like a spill. You know, it's like, who spilled something? Nobody, of course, fessed up to it. And then, of course, many years later, we hear about the house party or whatever the case may be. And we've done the same thing to our parents, saying, well, yeah, there was the, to the point where Sherry's mom at some point during a mother-daughter weekend with Sherry and her sisters and her mom, and as they're telling these stories about way back when, their mom made a declaration like, no more, enough.
I don't want to hear it.
You don't need to share your deep, dark teenage secrets with me anymore. I thought life was going just fine back then. I don't need to know more behind the scenes. But it brings us back to the serious point of, you don't know everything. You should try to be as open with your kid as you can. Absolutely. But nobody's ever going to know everything, and they're not going to feel comfortable bringing some of these very sensitive topics up to their parents. The thought of, you know, me talking about sexuality with my dad at, say, ages, you know, 12 or 13, I could have never done. I could have asked a basic question or two, but there were certain things you were never going to bring up. And that's where, again, sometimes a teacher, a coach, a counselor, whom, you know, a neighbor's, a friend's parent, those folks are part of their circle too, whether you want it to be or not. And so, do you want to be the person that fosters that dialogue, or do you want to be the person that stifles that and claims under the guise of parents' rights that only you will dictate what they are exposed to? Because I'll tell you what, prohibition still doesn't work.
I kind of feel like my role as a parent is to be bumpers, to make sure that things don't get too crazy, but yeah, just to kind of let them get their strikes and their, you know, their not strikes. And that's all good. And, you know, I think as a person, we're still growing. And Pat, that's went good. To a drag show.
Yes.
I want to talk about my drag show.
All right. Talk about your drag show.
So when I was, I think, 49, my friend had a birthday party and she took us to a drag show in Key West. And, you know, I wasn't really interested. I was like, you know, I'm not really a drag show kind of person. That really doesn't appeal to me. I was a little afraid. I didn't exactly know what to expect, but, you know, she was comfortable and her mom was going. So I thought, if her mom's going, this is going to be a safe place. And we went, and I was uncomfortable. But as the show went on and I started to watch these performers and how glorious and in their skin they were, and yeah, I'm not like them, but they were so right, I really started to appreciate it. And I've actually gotten to the point now where there is a small group of folks who perform up in Green Bay, and I know some of them personally outside of their performing lives, and I so appreciate how they've moved the needle. I truly enjoy watching them do what feels right to them. It's really been a phenomenal transition.
So at no point did you feel the need to call 911 the way that one Minnesota legislator talked about earlier this week? Because I want to make clear, we've been talking about the good things that Minnesota did recently, but they still have a ways to go with some people, including this legislator, actually several members of the Minnesota legislature who are, like I said, advocating calling the cops if you see a drag show because there's something wrong with it. You know, when there's not, again, like you, it's not my scene, not the kind of thing that I would seek out, but I would also, you know, it's the old saying of, you know, I don't agree with what you say, but I will fight to the death for your right to say it. It's the same thing there. It's you do you, boo-boo. And if I go, I bet I'll have a really great time. I probably, you know, again, may not seek it out, but I also know that at no point has a drag queen engaged in a mass shooting. At no point in a drag show, you know, has that ended with, you know, everybody shooting each other in a Wild West situation the way that, again, some people on the right really want. When we hear, again, this week, we heard cases of people who were either accused of or involved in cases involving, you know, child molesting and other sexual misdeeds. They were Republicans or conservative advocates. Again, the projection is crazy in its volume that's out there, when the better option would simply be to respect one another and to stay involved. Again, it's not to say, hey, you can't be involved in your kids' education. Teachers want you to be. If you're not following any teachers on social media, what you're missing is teachers saying, hey, anytime you want to get involved, I got parent-teacher conferences all the time where I'm sitting there by myself because there are blocks of time where nobody's parents come in. Don't be involved just when there's one thing you don't like. And look, when something comes up that you don't like, that you don't agree with, yeah, go to the school board meeting. Go to the principal's office. Go to the teacher. Say something. But to bring a mob with torches and pitchforks, basically, and, you know, say we're going to vote out the entire school board it's really bringing, you know, a howitzer to a knife fight. It's not necessary when we can have a dialogue together.
One of my favorite things in the world is to go and volunteer at my kids' schools and just watch how the dynamics are evolving and see how they're interacting with each other and with the teachers. It's eye-opening and it's really delightful. Like, I get energy from being engaged like that. So you're right. Don't wait until it's a crisis. Involve yourself in the fabric of your community now.
And you can definitely be involved in middle school and in high school. But boy, I tell you, if there's ever a time when you want to get involved with your kids in education, do it really early, because I remember when our daughters went through first grade, each one of them, we got more involved because that's when they're learning to read. And we loved, I mean, it's magical to watch a kid learning what this word is, what this sounds like, the first time they complete a sentence. It's amazing. And then you get to about like fourth, fifth grade or so. And I don't mean to make light of this, but at that point, you're already looking at some of your kids' friends. And you already see, like, this one's going to be in an orange, you know, jail jumpsuit real soon, unless they turn things around. And that's because they had, you know, their parents weren't involved. Their parents weren't providing, you know, the bumpers that you talked about. So if the first time you're raising a ruckus about your kids is when they're 16 and you feel like they were hiding their gender identity, you know, questions from you, well, there's a reason why they were hiding it from you, because of whatever hostility you were providing up until then. So yeah, be more open, especially if you get a chance. If the other volunteer, one of the other, you know, kids' parents who's volunteering is Kristen Lyerly, you're going to have a ball.
She might, it takes a village.
She might come in dressed as one of those mascots, you know, like she used to do in college or something. Have you ever thought of, did you ever offer to do that for your kids' school? Do they have like a mascot?
Hey, I have thought about it. I really have.
Sometimes you still do you really still keep in touch with other people who were Goldie Gopher at the University of Minnesota?
Oh yeah, we've got a whole thing.
You've got a
We've got a Facebook group, and we come to games together on a regular basis, and it is more than a fraternity. It is something that really ties you together. So yeah.
And here's the thing. You're not, I would bet you a donut that you don't all agree on everything politically or, you know, parent-wise or whatever. But again, it's that dialogue that y'all have it with each other that says we don't have to be like-minded to be friends.
Exactly. And actually, my friend who sent that message that started this whole conversation ended it with, "Have a good day, my liberal friend." And I said, "You have an amazing day. I love you, my conservative friend." So, I mean, we can respect that we have different opinions, but we're having the conversation. And really having the conversation is where it starts, where we find those common values and we can start solving problems.
Oh, God, it's about the conversations. And if need be, you know, you have an election or a vote on something, you take the votes, you respect that, so long as you're not causing, you know, great harm to who should be your friends and neighbors. Hey, yes. You have a wonderful weekend, and let's do this again Monday morning for a little while.
I can't wait. You have an amazing weekend, too.
All right. When we come back, Dan Schumacher, and we'll talk a little weekend sports and more before we kick off this weekend. Coming up next, you're up north. Welcome to our weekly edition of Name That Grateful Dead Tune, where Aaron Zommers plays a little something if Dan Schumacher doesn't request it, and Dan's got to guess what it is. Dan, what are we listening to?
I think it's Throwing Stones, ain't it?
Aaron?
It is Franklin's Tower.
Franklin's Tower, then usually the two go together, Franklin's Tower and the Throwing Stones.
And by meaning gotcha. they go...
And I was going to have you, Aaron, I was going to have you play Cold Rain and Snow, because that's what it's been like.
It's still like that up there, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Dan's up just south of Jim Falls, just north of Chippewa Falls. When I left Chippewa Falls early yesterday afternoon, it was, what was it, 39 or 40 or something like that, with a cold rain coming down. And by the time I got down to Madison, it was partly sunny and 70. Just one of those where, you know, you can clearly on a weather map see where the dividing line is. And that's what we got going, and it's still spinning up there by you. It's still kind of gross, isn't it?
Yep, it is gross, and it was thundering actually. Probably that time you were driving when it was raining really hard here yesterday afternoon. And you got the thunder. I was like, "Are you kidding me?"
And you got the rivers, you know, still riding really high there. The Chippewa running right past you over there. But you know, then fine. We just stay indoors here. We watch sports. Folks are going to be watching the Bucks game 3 against Miami tomorrow night about 6:30 down in Miami. Still no word on whether Giannis has recovered from his bruised lower back. Did you see the fall that he took in game 1?
I did. And didn't they tie it up last night though?
They did. They tied the series.
So without him.
Without him. Yep. So it's one game apiece. And now, again, we mostly talk about your football career, but I know as an athletic director, you can relate to somebody going up to make a shot and falling that hard on their tailbone.
Yeah. I know this is crazy to say, but I don't even have a tailbone anymore. I have broken my tailbone so many times in football.
Ow.
That, the last piece, there's like, three bones to it, and the last bone disintegrated because it got detached and the body absorbed it. So figure that out.
Holy crap.
So
I mean, this is like Christmas vacation. Like, well, there's a piece of government plastic in there.
Well, you know, back in the 80s, the mentality was you didn't go see a trainer. Nowadays, if you go see a trainer, they keep you out.
Yes.
This is all about medical protocols now, from concussions to knee injuries to hip to whatever it is. Every injury, you're held out. You know, back in the day in the early 80s, you were told, you know, if you went to the trainer, you were weak.
Yeah. Yep. Rub some dirt on it. Get back in there.
Oh, yeah. 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 I could tell you stories and, you know.
Oh, no.
Being flipped up in the air and hitting on the ground like Giannis did. Mm-hmm. That happened to me multiple times in even higher heights. Going over the middle when I switched from quarterback to receiver. I got more broken bones that never been fixed, and that's just the way it is. Whereas kids nowadays, they're getting taken care of. So when they get injured, their injury's taken care of. So they don't have long-term repercussions that us old guys do.
Well, exactly. And you would know, you know, in the WIAC and in college sports everywhere. And now, of course, as a father as well, I have to think that when you're in the stands and you see a player get hurt, you much more err on the side of caution and are probably less likely to say, you know, metaphorically, rub some dirt on it, get back in there.
You know, yes, I agree, Pat. I did. When I had my own children playing, especially my middle son who played college football, but he was raised in our household, so there's a little bit of old school.
A little old school Chicago in there, yes.
Old school, you know, you do rub some dirt on it until you really know that you're really hurt, you know. So, yeah, it's always being a parent watching kids play sports can be very stressful, especially when it comes to those type of things when it's out of your control.
Brewers were off yesterday. They begin a 9-game homestand starting tonight at American Family Field against the Boston Red Sox. I will report back to you on what kind of an experience it was. But the Brewers are staying hot, 7-3 on that road trip. Nice to see some.
Yeah, by two games.
Two games over the Cubs and the rest of the division. So we'll see if that can get extended into this week. But to me, the larger baseball story is that apparently it's all but a done deal now that the Oakland A's are going to leave Oakland and go to Vegas. And once again, Oakland's going to lose a sports team. And, remember how for years we all said there was no way Vegas was ever going to get a professional team because of the gambling. Now they're getting another's team. And the sports gambling, I mean, you can't watch a sporting event for 5 minutes without seeing a gambling ad now. What a change in our lifetimes.
Hey, how about the casinos in Wisconsin?
Right.
You have a few of them that are adding sports books.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a big industry to see. Now they have three pro teams. They'll have the Raiders. They'll have the Golden Knights, the hockey, NHL hockey. Mm-hmm. And then they'll have a professional baseball team. And, man, that's huge for Vegas.
And they will, without a doubt, get an NBA team sometime in the next – whenever they – do expansion next in 4 or 5 years or whatever it is, and so they'll be a four sport town. They're putting up a $1 billion stadium. Now I've never gone to a Diamondbacks game, say in Arizona, so I don't know exactly how well the stadiums work in terms of the roof and the air conditioning and whatnot, but boy, sitting in 110 degree heat in Vegas just doesn't strike me as baseball weather.
No, I would not. I would not think so. I think everything's air conditioned there. I mean, they have a dome football stadium, mm-hmm. So I just think it's unbelievable that the change of events over the years where NFL would refuse to even acknowledge Vegas.
Right.
Now they're fully embracing it with the MGM app and they're all involved with all the gambling as well. And I got a feeling I wouldn't be a bit surprised if sorry, Pat, that they put a sports book. Gambling capabilities in the stadiums.
I could totally see it. And
yes, and slot machines, things like that.
And then at that point, you start counting down, basically. You count down until some massive, massive scandal that makes Pete Rose look like a choir boy.
And on top of that, isn't the NFL draft being held there next week?
I believe so. Yeah.
There you go. I mean, first time there in Vegas.
So you've got that full embrace. And look, I don't want to be right. I don't want to do the I told you so, but I just don't know how you expand gambling that much to the point where some players or coaches get the message that, oh, it must be okay what I'm about to do to, throw this game or whatever the case may be. And it may not happen anytime soon, but I just think you've opened up the door to something untoward there, but we'll see. The one thing we haven't talked about and we won't get into yet here is along with the NBA playoffs are the NHL playoffs. I just bring it up just simply to say I love playoff hockey. I don't care who the teams are. I feel like there's except for football, there's like no sport with more drama about how the intensity, because you can score that last goal with 1 second left. I love NHL playoff hockey.
Right on.
All right. Let's wrap things up here, Dan. Thank you so much for rolling with the punches here as I hit the road for Madison. But here we are through the magic of Zoom.
It is the technology. And I've got like 5 other more meetings today on the same computer with the Zoom calls.
So. All right. Well,
everything's changed.
You just set that tailbone down and enjoy a few meetings there. So. All right. Thank you, Dan. Talk to you later.
See you, Pat. Safe travels.
All right. Coming up Monday, Motherhood for Good. On Tuesday, author John Kinville. On Wednesday, Representative Alex George. And on Thursday, Senator Tammy Baldwin. All that. Representative Robin Vining joins us during the week as well. Y'all go out there and have a lot of fun. We'll tell you all about our weekend come Monday. We'll see you.